The United Nations tomorrow begins a two-day meeting in New York with young people under the theme Youth, Dialogue, and Mutual Understanding. The meeting is part of the program celebrating the International Year of Youth. Several Catholic youth organizations will also be participating. Vatican Radio's Victoria Samoghi spoke to the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations, Francis Chilicat, about the challenges facing young people in today's world.
Regarding the youth encounter, that it has always been of very much importance for the Holy See as well as the Catholic Church, issues regarding the youth. I always refer in this case what Blessed John Paul II did. He's the one who started the World Youth Day. So we are following the same example which was left to us by Blessed John Paul II, Pope John Paul II. So we continue to build on that legacy that Pope John Paul II left to us. Youth, we always say, is the future of the church, of a nation, of a society, of the entire humanity. So I always insist that we have to invest heavily in the youth. Investing in the youth, we are assuring a future full of promises, a future that will give us better hope, and only the youth can do that. So formation of the youth and the encouragement that we give to the youth is of extreme importance for the church. So in view of the youth gathering that we'll have at the United Nations, we already had a preparatory meeting in collaboration with Identis. There were about 500 young people who came to the United Nations. We had a very beautiful meeting with them. They were all present in a group and like a family in preparation not only for the youth gathering at the United Nations, but also the World Youth Day in Madrid in August. So it was in preparation both of the World Youth Gathering at the United Nations and later on that we will have in Madrid. And in fact, during this meeting, there was a prize that was given to one of the youth. There was a competition that was organized by Identis, and the young man who won this prize was given a ticket, a free ticket to, and all the expenses also will be covered for his trip to Madrid. During this meeting, the main protagonists were the young people themselves. So they narrated their experience of how a young man can live the Catholic faith and give witness of this faith to their generation, to their peers, and to the world at large. And what are their expectations and aspirations and hope that they are nurturing in their hearts. So it was a very interactive, very constructive, interactive meeting that we had, and it was so beautiful to see the young people participating in such a gathering and asking questions and telling to their peers their own experience, what are the challenges that they are facing and how each one is trying to solve many of the problems that they come across in their life. So it was a very fruitful meeting that we had as a preparatory meeting for the International Youth Day that will be held in July at the United Nations, and thereafter in August, the World Youth Day that will be held in Madrid together with Pope Benedict XVI.
What are the pressing issues that you are expecting to face during this international meeting in July at the UN?
The young people is the center of attention also at the United Nations. Everybody wants to get a share of the young people on their side. So this is one way of the United Nations telling the young people that they could also be active partners in building a better future for humanity. You know that there is a Convention on the Rights of the Child. The child, according to this convention, is up to 18 years old, which means also young people are included there. But young people as such, they are invited to the United Nations to build up dialogue among nations, among cultures, among religions. The reason why the young people are becoming the main protagonists of the dialogue that has to be because they don't want to have a young generation in disconnect with the present world and the future, which is a great idea. But what is missing in this, I'm now referring to the International Youth Day at the United Nations, not the one in Madrid, is that they are not focusing very much on the real values that the young people must have and must be told in bringing them to dialogue with the nations and cultures and religions. They need to be told beforehand what are the values, the real values that they should be standing for, and what are the real values that they should be using as a compass for their future. And if that preparation is not done, the dialogue cannot go very far. So I have my reservation regarding the formative part of it, this gathering, which is not done properly. Just bringing young people together and keeping them for 2-3 days, well, there is something positive about it, but I wonder the lasting effect of that such a gathering, which is unfortunately not done at the United Nations. But the example that we can give, and that the Holy See wants to give the United Nations, is that to have that preparatory process done, as we are doing for the World Youth Day in Madrid. We are doing at the parish level, we are doing at the family level, we are doing at the diocesan level, at the regional level, and then at the international level. So that is the kind of formation that the church is doing with regard to the young people that belongs to the Catholic Church, which unfortunately is not being done by the United Nations. So I put a lot of stress about the character formation of the young people, because if you help them build a very strong character based on values and core principles that they could never compromise on, then you are putting them on the right track to the future that they can be assured of. If that is not done, for me, we are not doing a big service to the young people, which unfortunately at the UN becomes everything a big show. But when you come to the substance of that kind of gathering, it has not always been very satisfactory. So our meeting ahead of this July meeting has been also to tell the international community it's not enough to bring in the young people to the United Nations, but you should also give them something and which they are looking for, the ideals that they are, the young people are really thirsting for, and give them as examples, the role models. And this is the way that we have to build up a youth that could also be partners in the future for the building up of our future societies.
What is the permanent mission of the Holy See going to offer to young people coming to this UN meeting in July? How will the Holy See or the Church try to attract them?
We have the Catholic Youth NGOs, World Youth Alliance, which is not exactly Catholic, but it's a kind of different Christian groups are present there. Even there's representatives also of other religions as well. They are there. That is, but they are very close to the Holy See mission. They share all our values that we are standing for. Then we have the Identitas, for example. We have various Catholic organizations, the parish and the diocesan level. So we are contacting them also about this meeting of the young people at the United Nations. And there we are trying to encourage them to come and participate in that, because I always tell them, you are like 11. We may not be too many there, or we could not get the big representation that we would like to have, because at the UN they have to have representation from all over the world and from all sectors of the society, not only from the Catholic Church. So we may not be a big majority there, but all the same, we got to have our presence there. And so that is what we are going to do. And the Catholic NGOs and the Catholic youth movement's presence there, at least visibly, will give them an idea that the Church also wants to be part of this international youth gathering. And we do not want to stand on the sidelines of the youth world. And whatever the young people are planning to do, they are also the Catholic young people who would like to have a say in it. In the final document that will be adopted, we will also like to have a say in it. And the Holy See's delegation will speak for the young people of the Catholic Church, and we are consulting them, and we would like to bring also their voice to the United Nations and to the member states of the United Nations to tell them that It's not just those young people who are consulted by the UN. There is also another world of youth from the Catholic Church and from the Christian churches. They also have a view to express, and we'll be doing it for them.
In this case, is there a collaboration between the Holy See and other church representatives?
We are doing that at the diocesan level, especially in New York. We are trying to do that through our Catholic organizations. You know that we are a small mission, so we cannot always do everything. So we are focusing mainly at the United Nations. But the parish and diocesan level, we are trying to get organized through various lay associations like the Dentes or the Communion and Liberation, the Focolare. So all of them are interacting among themselves, and that they have their youth movements. That is the way that we are going ahead in consulting with the Catholic youth movement in this country.
In the legislation of the UN, there are different groups trying to push through certain agendas,
yes,
which are not really welcomed by the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Can you name some of these very important tendencies and issues?
Well, the first and foremost is the life issues. When you are talking about the right to life issues, where unfortunately the United Nations is not giving a good example. Yesterday we finished, for example, the high-level meeting on HIV and AIDS. There, the political declaration that was adopted is mentioned in spite of the reservations that we made during the negotiations and after the adoption of the document. You can find in that document oftentimes the call to give sexual education for young children starting from the elementary school, and then the independence of children from their parents, and the parental rights are not recognized. They don't want to recognize. I'm talking about the member states who are doing that, and the access to abortion facilities, condoms, and so on and so forth. So if this is the kind of youth that the United Nations is trying to build, then you know you can more or less imagine what is going to be the future of this. So unfortunately, that moral and ethical and religious formation, the spiritual formation of young people, is not of the primary concern of the United Nations. And that is where the challenge of the Holy See Mission and the Catholic Church comes in. We have to fill that void that is being created by the international community. And that is, for me, one of the most important role of the Holy See Mission to the United Nations, in partnership with the various Catholic organizations, especially with the dioceses all over the world.
During the negotiations at the UN, how can you find allies who would try to help your work and represent another type of ethical values?
Yes, it's in the multilateral diplomacy at the United Nations. It's not always easy on these issues to get support, because at the United Nations, even moral and ethical issues become politicized. So the politics has oftentimes, unfortunately, the last say. But in spite of that, we are trying to get support from various countries. Malta helps us, Poland helps us. Now we are looking always forward to the Hungarian government's also support for us. San Marino, then various Muslim countries also, they are supporting us on the life issues, the family issues, the formation of young, the rights of the parents, and so on and so forth. So it is a slow process, but we have already started this process. And so far, we are making baby steps that would eventually lead us to some successful conclusions. So I'm very hopeful that it takes time, it takes a lot of efforts, it's a lot of goodwill, and it's a lot of contacts that we have to make. So there are people, there are member states, there are ambassadors at the United Nations that share the same view of the Holy See, and they would like to work with the Holy See. So we are trying to find out a working relationship with them so that we can also tell the international community that not only the major role players should have always the last say, there are also others who think differently, and their voice must also be heard, and their views also has to be taken into due consideration in the decision-making process that is being done at the United Nations whenever these high-level meetings or the conferences take place.
What are those upcoming decisions or negotiations which concern the youth?
Concerning the youth, of course, I already mentioned about the International Youth Day that the United Nations will be celebrating in July. Then we have the Convention on the Rights of the Child that is coming up, and we will be working on that, although most of the work is being done in Geneva, in the Human Rights Council. Then we have issues regarding the, for example, when you are talking about the population and development, oftentimes, as you know, the UNFPA, the United Nations, they publicly promote abortion, but they don't call it abortion, as you know, they call it reproductive rights, sexual and reproductive rights. So it's a euphemism that they use for access to abortion. We tell the young people that it is not by killing babies that you are going to solve the poverty in the world, but investing in children and in young people, they are the real resource, and each human being has a great potential. So what the international community should be doing to help them develop that potential so that each human being can give his or her contribution to the entire humanity or to the society or the family. So we continue to insist on the fact that it is by investing in people, starting with the young people, that we should be trying to reform a society, or we should be planning to build prosperity for a society, and not by eliminating young people. So we are trying to convince them that they should fight for the life of the other young people, that they will have to substitute them later on. So the young people must have a strong voice in this also, in the right to life issues, that they are there because their parents wanted them to be born alive and not to be killed in the wombs of their mothers. So if they have a chance, they had a chance to be alive, they should also be fighting for others who must also have a chance to be alive. So it is one of their main responsibilities in fighting for the life, so that when they become old, somebody else can take their place. And so that is one of the then the right to education, and then the right to development, the right to peace, so you name them. So all these things that must be granted to the young generation so that they can build their own future, always respecting the rights of the parents, because they are the ones that will have to guide them. Because when you are young, you don't have that experience which your parents have. So, and there is no substitute for experience in our life. So that's why the parents' role come in, because they will show you the right path, and they are the ones who are also taking care of you. So they must also have a say in it. So although UN always says that, well, the child should have the complete freedom from their parents to make his or her decision, when the children don't even know what kind of decision they are making, because they don't have that experience. So that kind of thing is really worrying when you see that at the United Nations these things are happening. So, as I said earlier, that is the challenge of the Holy See, of the Catholic Church, not only at the United Nations, maybe in other countries as well, especially in the Western countries. We have seen that this kind of attitude by certain governments is a really worrying factor that we should not discard, because if you just stand on the sidelines of the nation-building process of a country, then we will be losing a generation. And we cannot afford to do that. Losing a generation means that losing a part of the future that we are supposed to take care of. So we have a big responsibility in that. So we do our share at the United Nations, and I will ask our listeners also to do their share from their side. That means at the family level, at the parish level, at the diocesan level, at the society level, they also have to do that. So that if you bring up children basing on their real values that they have to stand for and that they have to live, then you will have a sound society, a prosperous society, a society that we can be proud of.
As you described your work, on a daily basis, you have to face very difficult situations, and maybe they could disencourage you from going ahead. So what is the source of the energy that you turn to when you really look around and you find, is it worth really doing what I'm doing?
We cannot afford to be discouraged. That is not, discouragement should not be, according to me, part of our vocabulary, because you know that whatever we are doing, we are not doing it like others at the United Nations, those who are paid servants of a government. We are not paid servants of anybody, because we are doing it for Christ, for Jesus, and for His church. And for that, there's no price tag you can put on that. We accept our mission in its fullest sense. We accept our work and service that we do as part of our mission, for which we are not looking for any payment from anybody. We do it as a cause that we have to fight for, that we have to live for. Even a discouragement, for me, it is a first step for a success, for a potential success that will come, because even when you have failures, that's a good sign, because that means you are not expected to repeat that failure in the future. So it's always a learning process, and we are bound to make mistakes in whatever we do, especially when you are doing it for the first time. But important thing is that we don't repeat that mistakes. So discouragement and failures will be part of our day-to-day lives, but that should not in any way dissuade us from moving on our path that the church itself has designed for us. So we have to understand that we are part of an entire design of God's providence. And as Pope Benedict XVI says, we are not casual beings in this world. We are here because God wants us to do something. So at the end of the day, He will be the one to enlighten us. He will be the one to show us the right path. He will be the one to give us success or failures, whatever it is. But we should be ready to accept that, because when you are sure that you are doing God's will, everything else will fall in its place.
You have been in this position for almost a year. What are the milestones or the big achievements?
Oh, it is too early to speak about the milestones and achievements. I just started. So the only thing I can tell you as success story is that I found a very able staff. Although we are a small mission and with a limited number of staff, we try to do the best we can, and that encourages me, because when you get the collaboration from the members of your staff, that's a great thing, because then you don't feel alone. And so they are with me, and I am with them. We work as a kind of a team here. As I told you earlier, each of us has a different role to play, but each of us is working for the same cause. That is what unites us. So as long as we have that unity among us and the sharing of the work in view of the same cause that we are serving and living for, then I think everything will work out smoothly. As I continue to tell the members of our staff that you should in no way be discouraged whenever we don't get always what we want. That would be the nicest part of any job. But that is the idealistic way of looking at things. But when we work for Jesus, for His church, we always have that satisfaction of having done the utmost that we could have done for a given cause. That is what He is looking for from us, not always the success stories. So I always challenge them in doing the best they can and the best way they can, and sooner or later it is going to work out. There is no other way out, because if you give the best you can for any kind of service or job, it has to turn out to be a success story. Because when you do your part, then the rest will be done by God that is missing. And that has been the case throughout the history of the church. Look at what the apostles said. They were just 12 apostles. And they could bring the good news to the farthest corners of the world. They were traveled all over the world. And we are Christians because of them. They built the church for us. And we will do the same thing. So this is the challenge that all of us have. And I am completely convinced that if you work with God and for Him, He will give us that internal satisfaction, that internal enlightenment that no one else can give us. If you are with Him, then you will feel that there is no way of getting discouraged. There is no way of feeling that we are abandoned. We are always with Him. And with Him, we can always accomplish. We can accomplish anything in this world because it is His power that will work through us for His glory. So this is what I always tell our staff. Be convinced of this, and someday we will make it. It's only a matter of time. And it has been like that in the past, and it will always be also in the future. This should be the guiding principle in our day-to-day life.